a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Play action for Stroud. He's going to take a deep shot down the field. Nico Collins is there. He goes up, and he's got it. What a catch by Nico Collins. A 57-yard gain.
We have raised expectations for the Houston Texans. I do think that they were very fortunate to win against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. I think they would have lost to a better team. But C.J. Stroud, on Sunday, in a game where he wasn't at his best, where he had a couple of careless throws, where he screwed up along with DeMeco Ryans and the referees, that end of the first half situation, still had a couple of incredible plays, specifically that 3rd-and-11 throw that he made to Nico Collins in crunch time. And Joe, a weekend into the 2024 NFL campaign, he's lapped everybody, including Anthony Richardson, who, of course, has glimpses of brilliance, but is still inaccurate. He has lapped the entire rookie class of last year's NFL draft.
What's special, I think, about CJ is that he's lapped multiple classes. He's lapped the Trevor Lawrence draft class. I mean, that's not hard, considering...
I can't say lapped. Lapped means you have gone around a full entire circuit.
Ooh, you don't think he's lapped Trevor Lawrence?
No. We can't already say that. We can't say that. They've both been to the second round of the playoffs. Lapped, Joe, is a lot.
I know, but I think, and I like Trevor, but like that loss this weekend to Miami where they were 14 at halftime.
He hasn't lapped him. I know every person that loves the Texans in town, you want to dismiss the Jaguars and you want to dismiss Trevor Lawrence. He is ahead of Lawrence, in my opinion. He has not,
but not lapped him. Okay, right. That's fair. That's fair. And now, to be fair, also from that draft class, there's only two starting quarterbacks left from the five that were taken in that draft, just Trevor and Justin, or Justin Fields. But what CJ has done, and the way he's specifically with Bryce, like that's one thing with Anthony Richardson. He was taken after CJ. It was still the surprise of the draft. And when you look back at it, Will Levis fell into the second round. What's happened to Bryce? I was listening to Todd McShay on Ryan Russillo's podcast today. I kind of agree with this take that I just feel bad for Bryce Young at this point. Like, it just seems like he has no prayer, and it's not even his fault. Like, just the organization is just so terrible, and the offensive line's not good. And maybe some of that's on Bryce, too.
I think his stature is not his fault, but it's a huge limitation. I don't think he's big enough to play quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm with you. CJ has lapped the rookie class from last year, and I guess Richardson's the closest one to him at this point, but he's pretty far behind.
Richardson is a full lap behind Stroud, because we're talking about Stroud as a potential top five quarterback. Richardson's fun to play with in Madden, you know? Bryce Young, who you mentioned, and that's what I want to talk about, is the other quarterbacks this weekend. Bryce Young was 13 of 30 for 161 yards and two interceptions with Dave Canales in his first game as head coach of the Panthers. Canales, somebody who had worked with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. Oh, he gets that smaller quarterback to look good. Maybe he'll do it with Bryce Young, but Baker Mayfield's continuing to look good with Tampa Bay. The Saints beat the Panthers 47-10. I think even Saints fans would tell you that they are very underwhelmed by what they have with Dennis Allen, and it's just more of the same for the Panthers. So to that McShay point, the Panthers are 1-40 in their last 41 games when the opponent scores at least 17. Mm-hmm. We're talking 17. They're really, really bad. But Young is not looking good. He can't overcome that situation, raise the situation around him to be better. So Stroud has lapped Young. You got to see a lot of Will Levis on Sunday in the Bears game against the Titans, where Caleb Williams, who we'll talk about a little bit later, was not the reason that the Bears won. Joe, can you talk about Jeremy Branham's favorite quarterback in last year's draft class, Will Levis, and the pick six that he threw to your Bears?
Yeah, before that pick six, like at one point, Paul, I was like, I think I'm kind of back in.
Oh,
like early in the game, and then it kind of unraveled. So, okay, so the end of the game, Will Levis and the Titans have the lead, and he's facing pressure. He needs to get a first down, and instead of just taking the sack or throwing it out of bounds, he just lollipopped it
to the sideline, and it's, you know, 5 feet in front of the wide receiver, and the Bears corner just got the easiest pick six of his life. I mean, it's bad news. It was a bad news Bears play. Like, it was something that you don't, I don't know. Like, I've never seen a quarterback do something like that. And then he's on, and well, I think what makes it worse is he's on his knees, like standing on his knees with his hands on his head, and just
the visual
watching it happen, just knowing that he just made one of the most bonehead decisions he could ever make.
If you haven't seen that clip of Will Levis screwing up,
it's so funny.
You have to see it. It is all time. I'm with you. I couldn't believe it happened. This is like what happens for every single sports movie. It's the same generally, where the team sucks at first, comically, and then they get good at the end, and they win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
This happens every effing sports movie, to the point where I don't even really enjoy sports movies anymore. Paul, you're so cynical and jaded. Yes. But that Will Levis interception, you're right. I can't remember seeing one. He underhand tossed it straight up into the air.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking.
I mean, there's Bears players after the game tweeting the highlight, saying, dude, just take the sack next time. They're almost like feeling bad for him in that moment because it was such a remarkably dumb decision. I think it's worse than the Daniel Jones preseason pick six to Jalen Petrie.
Oh, man.
Like, I think it's worse than that play.
Daniel Jones was pretty bad. Someone actually awful. Asked that on the text line. What was worse, the Levis pick six or the Danny Dimes almost safety pick six?
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that. I think it was Levis. I think it was the Levis play. And the Daniel Jones play is really bad.
Yeah.
But at least it was preseason.
There's no need for the Will Levis play. Like, there's none. Like the Bears defense said, just take the sack, man. Like, there's that I feel like Patrick Mahomes has ruined the brains for a lot of NFL players.
I also too.
Where they think or a lot of quarterbacks, not just NFL quarterbacks, college quarterbacks too, where they think that they're Patrick Mahomes and they think they can throw left-handed or underhanded. It's like, no, for the most part, just take the sack.
It's just like Steph Curry with all the kids that are bombing it from outside of the three-point line.
Everyone's taking a step-back three now.
And look, I mean, don't take it from us or the players who were advising Will Levis afterwards. Brian Callahan, the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans, you can just hear the disgust. Because this is all because of that one play. It's all because of that lateral, whatever the F, pick six that he threw. Here's Brian Callahan talking about what the Titans' offensive approach should have been in the second half, given that they were leading 17-3 at halftime, blew the lead, and lost to the Bears.
It was situational. We were playing so good on defense that it's almost as if, I mean, if we just punted it on first and 10 every time, we might have won the game the way that, you know, we gave it away. So
he's right. He's actually
right. He is right. The Bears offense didn't score a touchdown.
Oh, my God. It was bad. So C.J. Stroud has lapped all of last year's rookie class.
Mm.
And on top of that, I feel like the three guys that we saw rookie quarterbacks on Sunday, I don't think they're there yet. Joe, you saw Caleb Williams firsthand. His numbers after the game, sub 100 passing, sub 50% completion percentage. I think it was like 13-27 for, what, 92, 93 yards?
Yeah, 93 yards. It's not a good day. I thought of the three quarterbacks from what I saw from Washington and Denver. I thought he looked the most like composed, but you could tell it was too fast for him. It was way too fast for him. Because, like, and I know, like, I think with CJ, sometimes we forget about, you know, week one last year. But that was Baltimore. Like, it was Baltimore. Mm-hmm. This is Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like it is different.
They're good defense, but I'm with you in that he was doing some of the same stuff.
Yeah.
That, not Will Levis was doing in that he was lateraling interceptions that were easily returned for touchdowns. But he was trying to do some Mahomesian stuff where he's got the submarine throws.
Remember like when Reggie Bush came into the NFL?
Yes.
And he tried to start doing all the stuff he was doing at USC.
Correct.
And it just didn't work because everyone was so much faster. That's kind of what Caleb got hit with a hardcore reality check, was like when he tries to do those big boot plays. I mean, there was one that wasn't his fault, but he got a 19-yard sack.
Yeah, I was going to point out the 19-yard sack.
You can't always bail out. This is what's great about Stroud, because Stroud can move. And this was something everyone wondered about at Ohio State. Well, why doesn't he move?
Because he saw it against Georgia. Possession this weekend, right?
Right. Like he doesn't move often. because he had that scramble for a first down, but they called him down because if you go forward, it's the same as sliding, I guess, if you're a quarterback, which is interesting. But Stroud has a mindset of, I'm going to stay in the pocket and I'm going to try to make a throw. And a lot of quarterbacks have gone away from that over the years. You got to stand in the pocket and you leave it if it breaks down. And these young quarterbacks are going to figure that out. Caleb Williams, look, he has the ability to evade this rush, so that at the very least is good, but he's not going to be able to do it every single time.
Yeah.
Like he's Mahomes or like he's Aaron Rodgers, you know? You got to stay in there. Bo Nix, another rookie quarterback. Did you see the interception he threw against the Seahawks? I saw Rich Eisen afterwards complimenting Bo Nix's play, and I'm like, okay, Jets fan doesn't understand what a quarterback is. That's on brand. Bo Nix threw an interception into quadruple coverage on the left sideline.
It's so
right sideline, my bad.
Adam Archuleta?
Yeah.
Adam Archuleta.
He said, oh no, before he threw it.
I can pull it up.
Like, oh my God.
He said, oh no,
look it up.
Before he threw it.
I mean, between that, the Daniel Jones interception and the Bo Nix interception, the Nix one is the best throw of all those, but I mean, listen to this call.
5:35 left. They're down 13. Nix.
Oh no.
Has it. But it's intercepted.
I mean, like, okay, Caleb didn't throw for 100 yards. Bo Nix didn't hit his 100-yard passing until, like, his 30th pass of the game. Took him 30 pass attempts to get 100 yards.
It's better than Deshaun Watson, for what it's worth, because Deshaun Watson,
bar.
But, yeah, again, we're talking low bar, and these guys look very far from it. There were some people who wanted the Texans to also tank last year, losers, so that they could get Caleb Williams. There were some people who wanted that.
Yes, there were.
There were. Like, don't get a quarterback this time around. Draft the best player available and then get Caleb Williams next year. It's so crazy. I do not understand why people believe that they can accurately predict a college quarterback is going to be good. We should all give up on it. In fact, I think most people should just stop with the draft analyst before the draft starts because you're all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like how often? I always hate the wait thing because it always just changes. You know, we thought last year was going to be, well, just wait. Don't hit Caleb Williams. Like, wait for Kate Klubnik, and then he was terrible. People thought this year maybe it would be Shador Sanders. Okay, but, like, let's be – I'm really excited about Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. As much as I like DJ Moore, I would do anything to go back in time and slap Ryan Poles in the face and say, do not trade the number one pick to the Carolina Panthers. Take CJ Stroud.
But what if they take in Bryce Young?
Well, then I would be even more sad.
Slap but him like, on the face again.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, you go back in time twice.
Yeah, we have to just keep
one
going.
Hang on, Ryan. You should have known.
It's like in Avengers: Infinity War when Doctor Strange is seeing all the different results of how the world ends. Like, I see, like, there's only one. There's only one, and it should have been CJ. But like, you never know. You never know when you're going to get a quarterback, and that's why you always take one. Because even though these guys, like CJ's lapped all these guys, I do think all these franchises like have. Most of the time, made the right decision. The only one I really question, to be honest, is Denver. I don't see it with Bo Nix.
I don't either. I never did, but...
Yeah. Maybe it's I can't get Auburn Bo Nix out of my mind.
I mean, that's probably it.
But we saw him right there.
Exactly. That's Auburn Bo Nix.
That was Auburn Bo
Nix. I think you can also have questions about Atlanta. I just have some questions about what Atlanta's doing with their quarterback situation.
Oh, with Penix as the backup? With Cousins in as the starter? That was a rough showing by Atlanta. I'm pretty disappointed as someone who kind of bet heavy on Atlanta in my fantasy draft, but no one cares about that. The other rookie quarterback who played, Jaden Daniels, it wasn't terrible, but he missed a lot of open guys that were open over the middle of the field, specifically Terry McLaurin. He had a rushing touchdown. You're right. He definitely looks like a run first guy.
He is. If the first read is not there, he is tucking.
This was Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, and when he first got to LSU,
yes,
this is why
you're one at LSU.
He's not going to be this guy. Like, he's going to eventually go. I really like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
like, I kind of believe in Heisman Trophy Jaden Daniels, but he looked uncomfortable in this game.
One thing he needs to work on, because I watched a good amount of this game, needs to figure out the helmet situation. Helmet was popping off a lot. Basically, after every couple times he got tackled, his helmet would go off. And for someone who has had issues, I guess, avoiding contact at LSU, he seemed to invite contact a lot. And then now in the NFL, it's a different level of athlete, and now your helmet's coming off every play. Mm-hmm. Don't love that. Don't love that long term.
That's Sean behind the glass. Joe George to my right. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Imagine if some of the real draft nerds who follow the Texans got their way. And one, the Texans didn't draft C.J. Stroud. And two, they didn't draft Caleb Williams. And three, we were hoping next year that the Texans would draft Shedeur Sanders. Oh. Let's talk about Colorado Bowl some more. I really want to hear this song that Shedeur Sanders, we are a musical-friendly program. I want to hear Shedeur Sanders' work to determine whether or not this should be played at Colorado Bowl games. Stick around, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
For a moment, I thought this might be the Shedeur Sanders song. Because it's a fat beat. For real, for real. Oh, God, no cap. It be bussin'. Joe, why are you laughing? Sorry you're not hip.
You're right, I'm not.
Like me. I just made my hat go sideways. Scooter Gallant here. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How long can I speak like this without you busting out laughing?
I mean, I'm just gonna, I think I'm good now.
If I speak with a serious journalist voice.
No, that's making it just weird.
Okay.
Can you say Colorado?
Colorado football is. Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need.
Under serious scrutiny now. Look.
I wonder if we can get like Randy McIlvoy to drop that in there. A Colorado.
Probably not. I think he's too professional.
Can you find a
that.
Way?
We need Randy to bring me back on Sports Sunday, right?
We get Nate Griffin to say it then.
Well, listen, I'm an equal opportunity whore for TV. You don't have to pay me though. Like check that. I'm a slut for TV. You know, just ask me when and I'll put on my suit.
We'll work for free.
we'll work for free. Always do. But anyway, to bring it back to this, like we're appreciating where the Texans are. Yesterday, some people were getting frustrated with me saying, "Hey, they were lucky to win on Sunday. It was a good win. They were lucky that they were playing against a team like the Indianapolis Colts." A team like Colorado is a lot like a team like the Jets, like the Browns. The difference is that Colorado has brought so much more scrutiny on themselves because instead of saying, you know what, let's shut up after last year and the way that it went down, they kept doing the same old, same old. So they lose to Nebraska on Saturday. Everyone saw that coming. I don't know who picked Colorado. If you did, you're crazy. After the game, there's a lot of interesting storylines that have nothing to do with football. And one of them was that Colorado football is apparently playing Shedeur Sanders' song whenever he specifically scores a touchdown instead of the Colorado Buffaloes fight song. This song is now going to play "We Are Sorry for What You're About to Hear."
Perfect timing. Got them boogers up on my neck and stay shining. It's never hot around my jewelry, chase it climbing. I went and got that new Maybach, I stay grinding. They told me bust out my AP, perfect timing. Got them boogers up on my neck and stay shining. It's never hot around my jewelry, chase it climbing. I went and got that new Maybach, I stay grinding.
Dancing to it.
I mean, it's better than his dad's.
I don't know. His dad's song was, it aged, I think, gracefully. Like a fine wine. All right, that's enough. Honestly, that's enough. Why does all of today's rap sound the same? Sorry to be an old man yelling at a cloud, 35-year-old man. It's all of today's rap is like, and like there's someone in the background that's saying the exact same thing as him, yeah. Like an echo.
It's like talking to the microphone. Like they all do hip hop like this. Or like they're really far away from the microphone. Or they're just whispering.
This doesn't suit the mood if you score a touchdown.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's okay. So that's like, that was like my first thought too.
Was like slow energy.
Yeah, like if you're gonna make it a touchdown celebration song, it's gotta be a banger. Like it's gotta be like a summer jam.
Yeah, like whoop that trick.
This ain't
Terrence
it.
Howard's hustle and flow.
Yeah, this is not it. This is not good.
No. It's fine for an athlete. Like, it's like fine athlete music, you know, yeah. Where it's like, yeah, this guy is definitely not a musician.
So after Nebraska beat Colorado, they were playing that song in the locker room, dancing to it, which is pretty funny.
That's a great move.
But this is what's really funny. This is where Colorado is as a program. Colorado felt the need to release a statement on a report that Deion Sanders was telling the band to play Shador's song instead of the fight song. Here's the statement from a Colorado spokesperson. This is not true. Nobody ever asked the band to refrain from playing the fight song. After a touchdown, the band plays Glory, Glory, Colorado. And after a point after touchdown, the band plays Fight CU, as has been standard practice for years. When Shador Sanders scores, the band will wait a moment for a small snippet of Shador's song to play immediately before kicking into Glory, Glory, Colorado. This is exactly what happened during the game against North Dakota State. This practice is not unique to Shador, as the band will wait a moment after a successful field goal to play Alejandro Mata's song before playing Fight CU. Wait, so the kicker has a song? The kicker has a song?
I'll look up Alejandro Mata right now.
Oh, my God. That made it worse.
That's what I'm saying. A, they started by saying this is not true.
Yes.
And then they explain why it's true or how they do it. Where it's, no, we don't tell them to not play the fight song so they can play Deion Sanders' kid's song. We tell them to momentarily wait to play the fight song so that we can play Deion Sanders' son's song. Yes. Like, I don't think you can start it by saying this is not true.
Yeah, yeah.
And then explain how you do it.
Yeah, because you're supposed to tell the truth. The truth is that we're telling that our coach and his players are more important than the tradition of the university.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's okay if you want to roll that way. It's not like Colorado has a long history, but imagine this in Aggieland. Like, imagine Texas trying to do that. Like, Sarkisian trying to do this. Like, hey, we're going to play Arch Manning's country song before we play the UT fight song.
They've leaned very hard into players being able to promote who they are individually. And I understand why Deion might do it, because of what an awesome football player he was back in the day and because of the brand that he was able to build off the field. Ultimately, this is still a team game, though, and this stuff can naturally occur. You don't have to force it. And it really feels like Colorado is forcing everything to the point where whenever we see anything from them now, it's oversaturation. And, I mean, supply and demand, you give a little less, people will be wanting more. Everyone wanted, for the most part, to root for them at the beginning of last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone liked them. But now everyone's turned on them, and they're still doing this stuff.
It's because it's not just supply-demand. It's supply-demand and win. Win football games.
Right.
That's what's kind of getting forgotten in all this, is part of getting attention, or I guess if you want all the attention you can get, it is going to be positive for as long as you win. Mm-hmm. When you go 4-8, and then when you get your we get pantsed in Lincoln, Nebraska, guess what? It's not going to be positive.
Right.
The haters will come out when you go 4-8, and you're probably going to go 4-8 again.
And that's what I think Deion just doesn't quite get. Like, because he's never failed. Right. He has succeeded everywhere he's gone. He succeeded in the NFL. He succeeded in baseball. He succeeded at Jackson State?
Yeah. Media. Broadcasting.
Like, he was great at broadcasting. But this is not working. Like, this is to not recruit high school players, to be so heavily on the transfer portal, to, you know, be firing your offensive coordinator midway through the season in which your offense gets worse afterwards, to have your coaching staff littered with guys like Warren Sapp who've never actually coached before. Like, I want this to work, but this is it's different because he doesn't have the success. It's very much like Dabo Swinney. Like, at some point, you have to, like, wake up and realize that the college football machine is not broken. It works for a reason. Kirby Smart does things for a reason. Nick Saban did things for a reason. And if you're not going to do things like recruit and use the transfer portal in the right way, then, like, you're going to fall behind. And in Colorado,
They might win. They won, what, four games last year?
They won 4-8 last
year. They might win four games.
They barely beat North Dakota State. I mean,
like, last year they struggled against Colorado State. That's when everything went wrong, right? When Travis Hunter got hurt. I'll pick Colorado State to win this weekend.
Yeah, I'm
like over
too.
Colorado.
I'm too.
Like, it's just,
we're gonna put them in the pick six.
We'll see what the line is.
Yeah, we'll
first.
See the line. I mean, honestly,
I think Colorado is probably over a touchdown.
I want to see if it's even like worthy on the college football slate, because honestly, like, they're no longer for me. It's I want these stories. I don't care about the actual result on the field. There's no point. It's just funny to make fun of them for the stupid yeah. stuff coming out of their locker room.
Yeah. Shador is going to get sacked a lot, throw for a lot of yards. Mm-hmm. And if they're playing a team that's as serious along the line as the scrimmage, they're going to lose.
We're going to go around the NFL next. We have an update in the Tyreek Hill arrest story. A strong statement from Tyreek Hill's camp. And we laugh at the New York Jets because they suck. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. So many ways to play on MyBookie.ag, whether it's betting on sports, betting on the presidential election. We have a debate tonight. I don't think you can bet on the results of the debate, but you can bet on who will be president this year. You can also bet on all of the sports, football, baseball, whether it's futures or actual daily lines. And now MyBookie has an awesome new feature. They used to be matching your deposit, your initial deposit. Whenever you put it in, they would give you that exact same money if you entered the promo code BET975. Now they are doing that by doubling your initial deposit. Yeah. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They're not just matching your initial deposit, they're doubling your initial deposit, which is insane. MyBookie.ag is the best place for all of your gambling desires. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975.
What do you think's going to happen right now, boys? You know. What's Aaron going to do?
Look, I mean, you can't abandon the run, Adam, because you don't want to get us thrown every single time against this pass rush.
Right. Right.
Oh no. No. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Oh, no. See? No. See, maybe you should get rid of me. I don't want to be here. I'm going. That was terrible, fellas.
That's all we get?
For some. Well, yeah, I shouldn't be here, man. This was a mistake for you guys and for the Jets.
That's Adam Sandler, Jets fan, on the Manning cast watching Aaron Rodgers throw an interception. Adam Sandler's from New Hampshire. Traitor to the realm.
Yeah, I guess.
And he deserved that. He deserved that to happen to him.
Is that kind of like no man's land? Almost like, is it a mix of Patriots fans and Jets fans?
It shouldn't be. No, New Hampshire is basically New England's Alabama, but firmly a Boston sports territory.
Okay.
Firmly. And they have no say. I know that we fought the English so that we, of course, you know, wouldn't be ruled by the English, but the city of Boston rules over the great region of New England. And everyone should be a Patriots fan. And if you're not, Connecticut.
What does that mean?
Connecticut is the most bull bleep state in New England because they're part of New England and they want to be part of both. And a lot of people in Connecticut have like claimed Giants fandom and Jets fandom. Mm. And they deserve everything that happens to them.
Connecticut is the disputed land between Boston and New York.
It's part of New England. Pretty clear
I just mean as a fan base.
You couldn't afford to live in New York City, okay? You couldn't afford it.
That's why they're Yankees.
So don't root for the teams that are in New Jersey. It's like two states over. Mm. Anyway, I reveled in last night's absolute same old Jets performance. Nathaniel Hackett, he's getting canned. Robert Saleh, he's getting canned. Aaron Rodgers, there's a documentary coming out. I even watched a little bit of the Jake Asman show. I did. Oh, it brought a tear to my eye to see the misery of Jets fans.
Say a tear of joy.
Being something. Wait, did I say? What did I say? Tear to my eye?
You said tear of eye.
Oh, yeah. Tear of joy to my eye.
Yeah.
It did bring a tear of joy to my eye. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It's so funny. Jake once told me that when we were going to Vegas for a trip, when this was during the days of Vanessa and Galan, he said, you just can't envision a world where the Patriots aren't better than the Jets. And guess what? Patriots still better than the Jets, baby! 1-0! 1-0.
Anyway, what a loser franchise.
They really are a loser franchise, and I love it. I love it. Like, I love as bad as things are for the Patriots right now, still worse for the Jets. Still worse.
Yeah, incredible. That was a tough game for Aaron last night.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
I saw some people were like, Aaron Rodgers is back. I'm like, what?
No.
He watched the same football game last night?
There was one drive where he looked back.
Yeah.
But and it was because he was throwing it to Garrett Wilson every single play.
Yeah, the first touchdown drive that they had was just Garrett Wilson ball.
Mm-hmm. The 49ers look really good. They did that without Christian McCaffrey. 32-19, they win. Jordan Mason steps in for Christian McCaffrey, who is a scratch an hour and a half before the game. And he runs 28 times for 147 yards and a touchdown. After the game, he catches up with ESPN's Lisa Salters, and he may have gotten in trouble for this.
Where we go from here?
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that. I was always prepared. I mean, we went through training camp. You know, I was RB1 at training camp. So, you know, just been preparing from there and just, you know.
I'm sure that
RB1. He said it. He said it, Paul. An NFL player said it.
He did say it.
Hurts your argument a little bit, I think.
But, look, if you're told this on Friday, is he officially told he was the starter? Kyle Shanahan pushed back on this and... Between that interview with Lisa Salters and his post-game interview, I think that he got spoken to by somebody in the 49ers organization. Here is Jordan Wilson at the post-game podium.
Mason.
Damn, I keep doing it. I keep on thinking it's Jeff Wilson. Jordan Mason. Their names begin with J. What? What do you want from me?
Why is Jeff Wilson on the top? Like, I'm surprised that you remember who Jeff Wilson is.
I don't know, okay? Jordan Mason... Afterwards, at the press conference podium.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
I'm really confused. Like, he must have got yelled at by the PR staff.
I don't know if he got yelled at, but he probably was told, like, hey, man, like, we might face a fine for that. But, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Like, they asked him the question, and he answered it honestly. And it's ridiculous that people are mad about this to the point where it actually is a story. Like, yeah, McCaffrey got scratched an hour and a half before the game. He's everyone's favorite fantasy football running back. Life sucks sometimes. It's not the 49ers' fault. They don't have to tell everybody that. And honestly, I feel like teams should be allowed to keep things behind the fog of war. Did they tell Jordan Wilson that McCaffrey was going to be out? No, they told him he was going to have a bigger role. And people are like, this is the smoking gun. The 49ers should be punished because my fantasy team lost because they didn't have any options on the bench to start instead of Christian McCaffrey, even though he was listed as questionable for the entirety of last week.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Like, he's clearly like got talked to in a way that like he is annoyed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like upset. So like I feel bad for him. Because,
yeah. Shame on Kyle Shanahan.
Like honestly, yeah. Like the PR staff, if this is going to be a problem, you know that question. That's a very obvious question.
Yeah.
When did you know you were going to play? I think that's kind of standard. Like Justin Herbert was probably asked that the day that they stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the lungs with a shot with a needle. Justin, when did you learn you're going to play? I don't know, 5 minutes before the game started?
After the coin toss?
Like, that's a very standard question. So, like, these guys who are not as PR trained, you got to help them out a little bit.
Yeah. Now Jordan Mason has to deal with these questions. Paul Gallant can't even learn his name. He's confusing him with a running back who's rushed over 600 yards once in his career.
I mean, to be fair, he was on the 49ers.
And the last season was 2022.
He's on the Dolphins now?
Yeah, he's been on the Dolphins for 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years, damn.
Or this is the third year.
Okay, got it.
So two years, or not 2 years. He barely ever played.
A tip of the hat and an apology to Jordan Wilson.
Damn it, I did it again. How?
The most Jeff Wilson ever played for the Niners was 12 games in 2020.
I can't believe I keep screwing this up.
I can't believe it. You tried to apologize. You did it again.
I can't. That wasn't even a bit.
Oh.
That's just me having a small brain. Tyreek Hill, speaking of the Miami Dolphins.
Tyreek Wilson.
stock. I'll screw that up, too. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has called for firings in the Miami Police Department on a appearance of the Dan Le Batard show. He said, quote, "For me personally, I believe the police officers that did that to Tyreek shouldn't be in the position. They should be let go. Look at the guy who kicked him. That guy should be fired. That's out of control. The guy that jumped in and put him in a chokehold, there's no place for a police officer to have a badge that operates like that when Tyreek wasn't being aggressive or violent or fighting back in any capacity. It was horrendous how they treated him. They didn't treat him like a human being. I do think it was excessive by the cops. I also think that Tyreek Hill was probably driving like a madman. I mean, 60 miles per hour, 30 mile per hour zone outside of a stadium. Supposedly there was weaving going on. I think there actually is video of that. He did act a little bit entitled when it all happened. Our total thoughts on that in the first hour of the Gallant and George podcast, which you can get on Apple and on Spotify. But that's the latest. Drew Rosenhaus is calling for firing.
I think I missed the kick.
I missed the kick as well. I guess I got to watch it back again.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a pruder analysis, the bejesus out of that.
Was there like a, when they kind of sat him down on the curb? Because they had him laid down when they handcuffed him, and they stood him back up on the curb. And I think maybe a kick happened to get him back sitting down when Calais Campbell joined the party. I forgot.
The attorneys of the Reyes Law Firm representing the Miami-Dade Police Department officer via statement said that they want him to be immediately reinstated. They believe that the decision to place their client on administrative duties were premature, though they fully support the Miami-Dade Police Department.
So both lawyers are doing the lawyer stuff.
Yeah, we're in lawyer mode.
Let me guess. What? Oh, so the guy representing Tyreek Hill, I know he's his agent, not his lawyer, but still, he's basically doing PR for Tyreek Hill, says the cop should be fired. The cop's attorney says they shouldn't even be on administrative leave.
This is always where, like, these stories where I'm like, all right, well, now I'm over it.
Yeah.
Like, once you start getting all the lawyer back and forth, yeah, the agents,
unless it's going to be funny, like Scottie Scheffler story, when the video comes out for the Scottie Scheffler stuff and it's funny.
I wonder if there's an $80 pants that got messed up.
I don't know. Maybe that officer with black sleeves, maybe he ripped a hole in his shirt.
As one does.
As one does.
It does happen. Anyway, that is
Officer Wilson.
That is our 10-minute drill on Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. Up next, we're going to do a quick draft in honor of the late James Earl Jones. But first, Joe is going to tell you about O Athletic.
Yes, I'm at the lightest I've been since before the pandemic when I got married January 2020. Then the world shut down and we're eating, we're drinking, we're having a good time. Like, there's not much to do in the world besides those things when you can't go out. So I put on some pounds, the most I'd ever weighed when I started this journey about 6 months ago at this point. And I'm down, like I said, to my pre-pandemic weight. And you don't need to wait till January 2025 to start your weight loss journey. O Athletic is ready for you right now. They offer over 100 classes per week. You can sign up and go whenever it's convenient for you to go and take a weightlifting class, an agility training class. You want to try Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or boxing. They have all of that for you. You can get a personal trainer as well. Check them out, OAthletic on Instagram, oathletic.com, and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, and tell them that Joe George sent you by.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
James Earl Jones passed away at the age of 93 last night. For those unaware, I would say, pound for pound, the most iconic voice for any actor ever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Fran Drescher doesn't count. Gilbert Gottfried doesn't count.
No. I think it's James, and part of it's because it's just the voice in the most iconic roles, right? Like, you don't see his face. Even in Star Wars, when they reveal Darth Vader, it's not him. Like, it's not at the end of the last movie of the original trilogy. So it is like... That's why he's the most iconic, because of what those movies meant. And then I think because you don't see him ever, it just adds to it.
You've seen him in some movies, but for the most part, it's his voice that really just stands out. So, Joe, this was your idea. I love it.
let's do a draft. Two rounds?
I guess how many are we? Is Star Wars one pick?
It'd be insane if we all just started to, I pick four, whatever.
Okay.
Empire Strikes Back.
That's why I wasn't sure.
Return of the Jedi.
If you're going to go, if you just get all Star Wars, then it's two rounds.
I mean, there is a part of me that thinks that if you draft James Earl Jones as Darth Vader, it's kind of cheating. So should we allow James Earl Jones as Darth Vader?
Okay, okay.
I think we should allow one Darth. No, we could each pick a Darth Vader role. We could each pick a movie where he plays Darth Vader. There's that many of them.
I understand, but I feel like it's almost all the same thing. But fair enough. Fine. We could do that too.
Okay. So then I say three rounds if we're all picking a Star Wars movie.
No, we're not all picking. I don't want to all pick us. It's not interesting. Don't ever.
Okay. All right.
Who wants to go first?
Sean, you can go first.
Oh.
Snake draft.
I didn't. Oh, no. I don't want to go first on a snake draft. God, this sucks.
What? If you get Darth Vader, it's over.
No, it's not. I don't. Yeah, I'll pick Darth Vader.
Okay.
Yeah. He already won. He won the draft, but.
I'm not going to get the ones I want, though. But, all right.
All right. Who's up next?
Would you like to go? Or?
Rock, paper, scissors. Wait a second. We did that horribly. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I got it. Mufasa, Lion King.
Yeah.
You're next.
I'm going to take, I can't remember his character's name right now. I didn't write it down. But Field of Dreams. His role in Field of Dreams.
Oh, okay. It's Snake, so you get to pick again.
And also didn't write this name down. I just put the movies in.
Yeah. That's fair. That works.
That's fine.
Coming to America.
Oh, damn it. Okay. Because, yeah, Field of Dreams is an objectively terrible movie.
I agree, but I think he's great in the movie. Yeah, I don't like Field of Dreams.
I'm going to take, he's barely in it, but I really believe that this is him as a character. His role in the Jack Ryan franchise.
That's the one I want. I was hoping to get the third pick so I can get that.
There's three movies. He's in Hunt for Red October. He's in Patriot Games. Mm-hmm. And he's also in Clear and Present Danger. So I love those movies. I'm taking James Earl Jones in those, which also featured Alec Baldwin in Hunt for Red October and Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan in Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger. I still watch those movies all the time.
I think I might rewatch those.
Oh, yeah,
it's been a while since I've seen them.
He plays Vice Admiral James Greer. If you watch the Amazon show, it is played by the guy who plays Bunk in The Wire.
Mm-hmm. Sean, last pick.
Last pick. Man, a lot of good ones. A lot of good ones. I'm going to take the movie Soul Man, where he plays Professor Banks. And okay. I'll just read the synopsis of Soul Man, if you haven't heard it. To achieve his dream of attending Harvard, a pampered teen poses as a young black man to receive a full scholarship.
Oh, wow. Who's in this?
Who
else is in this other than
C. Thomas Howell is in this.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of guys. Leslie Nielsen is in it.
It's really fascinating that a guy who had a stutter in childhood, James Earl Jones, became known as essentially like the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice of one of the most iconic characters in film history. He won a Tony Award for Best Actor in a Play. He's doing Shakespeare. Come on now.
I had the other one I had on my list was Mr. How do they say it? Myrtle from The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah. He's the neighbor that owns Hercules the Beast.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought someone took Sandlot. Also, I don't really like Sandlot. So
it's
fine.
It's okay.
Taking it.
He also was in Conan the Barbarian. He's the bad guy in that.
Yeah.
Here's something I did not even know until just now, because I just started watching the movie Saturday morning. I had never seen Doctor Strangelove.
I've never seen it.
And apparently he makes his film debut in said movie. Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. I'll have to check that one out too. Since the, hopefully the Astros just put away the A's so we can enjoy some movies.
That's what
I want from this series.
I'd rather just watch James Earl Jones and watch Astros A's.
Watch Scary Movie 4.
Was he in Scary Movie 4?
Yeah, he was the narrator.
Oh, interesting. He was in Roots, Jesus of Nazareth, and Scary Movie 4.
The big three. And Star Wars.
But anyway, we're all going to miss James Earl Jones. What an iconic voice, but also a great actor. And so many memories that you have of him in all these different movies and things like that. So I was bummed out. I was truly bummed out to see that one. That's the first one in a while where I've been like, oh, man. he's been in so many things that I've loved.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I'm such a Star Wars nerd. Like, it's just like, that's my favorite movie franchise. It'll never change. So yeah, and Mufasa, Lion King was the first movie I ever saw in theaters.
Wow.
I was like, two? I guess I don't remember seeing it, but that's what my parents told me.
Did you cry?
I don't know. I probably just screamed.
That's a pretty good 1-2. That, like, a pretty unbeatable 1-2 as far as your, like, because they're both only voice performances.
Mm-hmm. And the best part is like how much money he made from them in 2019, because he was Mufasa again.
Yeah.
When they did the live action. And then he was, he kept doing Darth Vader stuff.
I'm pretty sure they just have a bunch of, I think we're going to hear James Earl Jones as Darth Vader for as long as they're making Star Wars.
Because now you can do artificial intelligence, James Earl Jones, which is honestly terrible, but I don't want to hear anybody else's voice doing it. It is one of those things where you would notice if it's not James Earl Jones's robotic voice.
What I want is for Disney to have done the work on the front end and sign a contract with James Earl Jones where it says, like, hey, you're, what, 93 years old?
Like, let's just knock out.
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
We got a couple more Star Wars movies left in us.
We're going to take care of your family forever.
Exactly.
It is Gallant and George. That was fun. Joe George, Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Up next, we're going to talk more about the Houston Texans win over the Colts Sunday and look ahead to their game Sunday night, primetime, again, finally on a Sunday for the first time in a while with DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.